Now the title is a seven-word title. The Revelation of Saint John the Divine. And the only reason I emphasize that is, again, many Bible publishers today are shortening it up. It saves ink. And they can make it the Revelation or the Revelation of John or whatever they want to do. But the title, the proper title, I believe, is The Revelation of St. John the Divine, because that makes it a seven-word title. The number seven in the Bible is the number of completion. All right, the number seven. 6 days God created, on the seventh day He rested. Completion. We've talked about this when we studied numerology at one time. There are seven colors in a rainbow. There's not eight. There are seven notes on a piano scale. Seven notes in the scale. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. There is no H. All right, now there's flats and sharps in between, but the chords or the keys, there's seven notes on a scale. Who invented that? How did that happen? How did that come to pass? Well, God's the one that invented music. Man discovered some different things, but God's the one that invented that. We've said this before. God's name is Jehovah, seven letters. The archangels are Michael and Gabriel, both seven letters. The other archangel that fell, his name was Lucifer, seven letters. All right, seven is God's number. It's His number of completion. And I believe that the revelation of St. John the Divine is a seven-titled name, seven-worded title, because it is the completion of the Word of God. The Bible is now complete. We don't need the Book of Mormon. And I have read. I've read in the past. It's been many years ago, but I've read the Book of Mormon. And it's kind of fun to read. It's wacky, but they make it sound like the Bible so that they can... Revelation was the end. We didn't need something about the American Indians in the 1600s and 1700s. The Bible ended in 95 A.D. And there's no more after that. We don't need the Koran. I've read that also. I've read all through that. It's interesting reading. And yes, the verses are there that say to kill the infidels. Yes, they are there. In two different translations, I've read from two different sources. I've read that. But that's in addition. The Bible ends with the book of Revelation. We don't need any... You know, these guys now saying, well, I had a revelation of this and a revelation of that. No, you had too much pizza before you went to bed that night. The Lord did not appear to you, And I don't say that on my authority. I say that on the authority of the Word of God. With the book of Revelation, the revealing ended, and there's nothing after that. So when we come to the revelation of St. John the Divine, that is the title, that is the seven-word title given to the book as the final completed revelation of God to man. Now notice verse 1. Verse 1 says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's no contradiction between that and the title of the book. Folks like to make big deals of little things and little deals of big things. That's the human mind. We want to take God that we can't comprehend and try to bring it down to where we can comprehend Him. And then we want to take the little things that we can comprehend and make them look like they're big. But there's no contradiction between the title and the first verse. The first verse said, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation is witnessed by and written by John. All right, the title, the revelation of St. John the Divine. He's the one that received the revelation. He's the one that was caught up from the Isle of Patmos, as we read the book of Revelation, and was shown great and mighty things which shall come to pass. Was shown the seven churches in Asia, and was shown the type of the rapture in chapter 4, and the tribulation in chapter 5 and chapter 6, and all the things, the rising of the Antichrist. John was shown all these things, so it was his revelation. But then verse 1 says it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. But what is it? Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he set and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So there's no contradiction between verse 1 and verse... We don't need to change the title of the book because verse 1 says the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's five words. That's not completion. In fact, the number 5 in the Bible, I would tell you, represents death. Turn to Genesis chapter 5. And he died, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. How many stones did David pick up in the brook when he slew Goliath? 5. How many wounds were in Christ when he died on the cross? 5. The number five in the Bible is symbolic. Some folks say it's grace, and it is to a certain extent, but more overwhelmingly, it's a number of death. We don't want to end in the book of Revelation. We don't want to end with death. We want to end with completion. It's the revelation of St. John the Divine, seven words. But there's no contradiction between that. God chose John to reveal his revelation to. So it is the revelation of John. Now, you'll hear preachers or you'll hear Bible teachers, you'll read things all the time and they'll say that the title of the book of Revelation is wrong. It's not the revelation of St. John, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, my question is this. In all the Bible versions that are coming out, one after the other, one every 2 years or so, how come none of them are putting as the title of the book, the revelation of Jesus Christ? They don't do that. You know why they don't? Because they can't honestly do it. Now, honesty is not a strong suit anyways. But when you go to the Greek text with the title of the book of Revelation, you can't put Jesus Christ in it because John's the one whose name is in the title. Jesus Christ is the one that gave him the revelation, verse 1, but it belongs to John. So the title is correct. The title has no contradiction. It is the revelation of St. John the Divine. Notice who the writer is. It says at the end of verse 1, he sent by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. The one that received the revelation is the one that wrote the revelation, and that is the Apostle John. Notice in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia. John is the author of the book. Verse number 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation. I heard a preacher say, John never called himself by his name. He called himself the Beloved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. Well, here in Revelation, he calls himself John. He says in verse 9, I, John, who am also your brother and companion and tribulation. So John is claiming authorship of the book. Go all the way back to the end. Go to chapter 21. John's name actually appears five times, three in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, 4, and 9. And then twice at the conclusion of the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 2, John says, And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. So it's very clear who wrote the book. I, John. And then chapter 22 and verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. The authorship of the book of Revelation is very clear. It's the revelation of St. John the Divine, which God gave to him, and he wrote down all these things. Again, I know that sounds simple, and it seems very easy to see, but again, people make difficult things out of that which is easy. And if you pick up commentaries on any book of the book of Daniel. Well, we think Daniel wrote the first seven chapters, and somebody else wrote the next two. The books of Moses, the first five. Well, we think it's a pseudo-Deuteronomy. It was really written by this guy. They always are skeptics, questioning every single thing they can come across. I personally get tired of skepticism. I'm skeptic of skeptics. All right, you follow me? I'm skeptic of skepticism. All right, so the writer of the book of Revelation is John. Now, there are four men named John in the New Testament. So we've got to make sure we know which John we're talking about. In Acts chapter 4, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but there is a John who is a relative of Ananias the high priest. That's not this John. All right? There's a second one in the book of Acts that went with Paul on his missionary journeys. His name was John Mark, sometimes called John Mark and sometimes called just Mark. That's not this one either. The other one in the Bible that you know predominantly in the Gospels at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ was John the Baptist. That one that was the heralder of Christ's coming. This is not that John. All right, that takes us to the last one. This is the John that was one of the 12 disciples whom Jesus personally chose to follow him. He is the one that leaned on Jesus' breast at the Last Supper. He is the one that Jesus called the beloved disciple. He is the one that wrote the Gospel of John. First, second, and third John, and the book of Revelation. All right, so this is that John. He and John the Baptist are the two most prominent, and a lot of folks, especially when they're getting newly introduced to the New Testament of the Bible, they have a hard time differentiating between John the Baptist and John the Beloved. John the Baptist and John the Disciple or the Apostle. So the John that wrote this is not one of the other three. It is John that walked with the Lord for 3.5 years and wrote his gospel and his three epistles and now the book of Revelation. The date of the writing of the book of Revelation is very important. The book of Revelation was written, and again, we don't have internal evidence, so to speak, but it is dated at 95 A.D. That's the last book of the Bible written, before 100 years have passed since the death of Christ. And again, Christ died around 33 A.D. or thereabouts. So 65 years later, the Bible is complete. The canon is done. Don't worry about the epistle to Barnabas, and don't worry about Hermas and Balaam the dragon and all those apocryphal books and all that. We've got the 66 books of the Bible right here. We're all set. And the last one written was 95 AD. Now, it's important why that date is, because, as you know, Jerusalem was destroyed before that time. Nero burned it to the ground. Nero was insane. Nero was a maniac. And history tells us he wanted to build a big garden out of all, around his palace of all Jerusalem, but he couldn't do it, and so he had it burned down and then blamed the Jews and blamed the Christians and had everything done. So Jerusalem was destroyed by it. So they want to say that the book of Revelation is all past history talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. The destruction of Rome. I'm getting this all backwards. The destruction of Rome. That's what it's all about. So that had to happen before 95 AD. So they take everything in Revelation and put it way back in the past. But this happened after the burning of Rome, after Nero, after all these things. So it's going to be, we're going to see a futurist book, not a past tense book. And that's important in setting the date. If you ever read or study and somebody says, well, the date of the writing of Revelation is 65 AD, there's a reason they're doing that. Because nothing in the Bible indicates the date of it. They're setting a date according to the way they want to interpret the book of Revelation. So the date of the writing is 95 AD, and it's important to a correct interpretation of the book of Revelation. The purpose of the book. Why is it there? Well, it is a revelation. The word revelation means revealing. All right, very simple to see. What the word? It's a revealing or an unveiling. Now think about that. A revelation is a revealing or an unveiling. Keep your place there. Look at Romans 16 very quickly. Romans 16 and verse 25. I think this will help us understand the word revelation. Romans 16 verse 25. Paul says here, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. All right, we know the word revelation means revealing. According to the revealing of the mystery, notice, which was kept secret since the world began. Now the mystery Paul's writing about in Romans is the mystery of the church. And the church was revealed in the New Testament. It didn't begin till Acts chapter 3. Or Acts chapter 2, excuse me. It didn't begin till Acts chapter 2. But the teaching of the church is all throughout. Now we go back and we see the congregation. We see the psalmists and rejoicing into going to the house of the Lord. We see the church taught back there, but it wasn't yet revealed. It was there, but it was behind the curtain. All right, the book of Revelation are things that God had already knew were going to happen before John ever wrote them down. God did not tell John, let me write a new story. Let me write some new. No, he's revealing to him things that from the foundation of the world were determined were going to happen. And so the book of Revelation is one long revelation, a revealing to John to write to you and I about those things which shall shortly come to pass, it says in verse number 1. The word revelation means a revealing or unveiling. It is a revealing of things to come. God is revealing His plan. He is unveiling something which already existed, but up until this time was hidden. We don't have time, but jot down the verse if you would. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. I'll read it for you and you can look at it later. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secrets unto His servants, the prophets." Alright, God reveals His secrets unto His servants, the prophet. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, you can write that down. Daniel 2 and verse 28, it says, "But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known what shall be in the latter days." Alright, Daniel told us, God's going to reveal what's going to happen in the latter days. Well, where do we read about that? Nowhere else in the Bible but the book of Revelation. Now, we read a little bit of things in the book of Daniel, but here's what Daniel was told to do. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, God told Daniel, "Shut up the words, seal the book, even till the time of the end." Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. God gave Daniel a vision of end times, but He wouldn't let him write about it. Can you imagine being Daniel? Could you imagine knowing being so excited? What you read in Revelation was shown to Daniel back before Christ. And yet God said, "I'm going to show you all these things." Daniel was a special servant to the Lord. And He showed Daniel all those things, but He said, "Seal up the book. Don't write them down. I'm letting you know what's going to happen, but you can't tell anybody else." Daniel must not have been a Baptist, because he kept the secret. All right, he didn't write it down. He didn't tell anybody else. He didn't make it a prayer request to somebody else. He just kept the secret. All right, Daniel was told to shut up the words. But notice what it says in Revelation 22 and verse 10. Notice what God told John. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 10. John says this again. He said, "I, John," in verse number 8. And in verse 10, John says, "And He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." Revelation 22 and verse 10. Seal not. Daniel was told, shut up the words, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Daniel 12, 4. John is told, seal not the sayings of this book, for the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. The time is at hand. When we get to the end of the Bible, it's time now, John. Unveil this. I showed it to Daniel, but I didn't let him write it. I'm going to let you write about it. And now we can read about all those things which shall shortly come to pass. In the book of Revelation, there are over 300 references to the Old Testament. I don't have time to actually verify all this, you understand that. Someone else said there are actually over 500 references to the Old Testament in the book of Revelation. Now we'll take the lower number just for argument's sake, but let's put it this way. If you don't read the rest of the Bible, you can't understand the book of Revelation. Now here's what a lot of people want to do. I want to know what's going to happen. I'm going to read Revelation. And they sit down and they read the book of Revelation and they come out with eyes as big as deer in the headlights. They have no idea what they just read. Because you can't start with the book of Revelation. You've got 300 references in the Old Testament that are being applied and used, and without a proper understanding of the rest of the Bible, you can't figure out the book of Revelation. And a lot of folks are trying to do that. They're trying to come to this book and isolate it from the rest of Scripture and figure everything out, and you can't do it that way. An understanding, a knowledge of the rest of the Bible is imperative to an understanding or an unlocking of the book of Revelation. Look at Revelation chapter 1, if you would, in verse number 19. Just a couple more things here this evening. Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. God told John, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." What God has done in Revelation 1:19 is given us an outline of the book of Revelation. There are three parts to it. The things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now again, let's take ourselves back to 95 AD. And God told John, He said, "I want you to write the things that thou hast seen past, the things which are present, and the things which are to come future." So the book of Revelation covers the past, the present, and the future. With that understanding and trying to find out how the book of Revelation is laid out, the most reasonable overview of Revelation 1:19 is simply this. When he says in chapter 1 verse 19, the things which thou hast seen past, that's Revelation chapter 1. Alright, chapter 1 is the things which are past, the things that he has seen. Notice he said in chapter 1 verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw, past tense, I saw seven golden candlesticks. This has already happened now. John wrote that, and that was past tense. Verse number 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. So these are the things which he has seen, chapter 1. The things which are chapter 2 and 3. The things which are chapter 2 and 3. That's the present. Notice it said in chapter 1 and verse number 11. Chapter 1 verse 11 saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are. Alright, the things that are. The seven churches which are in Asia. Where do we read about the seven churches? In Revelation 2 and 3. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, Thyatira, all the churches. They're in chapter 2 and 3. So the past tense is chapter 1. The things which are chapters 2 and 3. The church periods. The churches. That's where we're at right now. We're in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 right now. The church age. It ends with the church at Laodicea, and we'll study those churches in a couple years when we get to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And we'll find out that we are in those church ages, and it starts with Ephesus, and it boils down to the church, the last church, the church of Laodicea, which is the church age that we're in right now. But Revelation 1 verse 14 said, the seven churches which are in Asia. Now here's, again, you know me. Here's why this is important. Revelation 1:19 said the things which were, the things which are, and the things which shall be. And we know the seven churches are the things that are because verse 11 said, which are in Asia. But you've got a King James Bible in your hand. And that's the only one that says right there, which are in Asia. The others just say, they took out Alpha and Omega too. But they took out which are in Asia in the middle of verse number 11. And that's our key to understanding the divisions of the book of Revelation. You can't mess with the Bible. You can't take words out and add words and mess up. Everything's there for a reason. And that one little phrase with the word are is to indicate to us the things which are, Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And then it says in chapter 1 verse 19, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things which shall be hereafter. And look at Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1. After this. That's the future. After this I looked. Alright? That's the things which shall be hereafter. After this I looked. That means that we are in Revelation 2 and 3 right now. And Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 22 are all future. Again, in different interpretations of the book of Revelation, some say it was written 65 AD, and this is talking about the destruction of Rome, which is Babylon, and this is all done, it's all over. Revelation's already done. There's another interpretation that says we're in the process of the book of Revelation right now, and they try to make all these weird things that happen in Revelation and apply them to things that are going on right now that we see with our own eyes. But the proper interpretation is that from chapter 4 to chapter 22, all these things are yet future. I like chapter 4 verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard were as it were of a trumpet. Does this sound familiar? As it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. All right, there's the which shall be hereafter. That's what he said in chapter 1, verse 9. The future thing. The future begins in Revelation 4:1 when a door opens in heaven and a trumpet sounds and a voice says, come up hither. In Thessalonians it said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall rise and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's talking about Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. That's the next thing after. The word church, and we'll get to this when we get to Revelation 4. The word church is all through chapter 2 and 3. Church, churches, church, church. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Church, church, in chapter 2 and 3. After chapter 4 and verse 1, the word church disappears. You don't find it again in the book of Revelation until you get all the way to the end of chapter 22. Because the church is gone in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. That's the future. Right now we're in the present, chapter 2 and 3. We're waiting for chapter 4. A door to be opened in heaven, a trumpet to sound, and a voice to say, come up hither. That's the introduction to the book of Revelation. And if that whets your appetite, be here in 2 years, and we'll start in on chapter 1. All right, we're going to be dismissed, but before we do, we talked a little bit about before church about things that go on that you don't know about, and I need to share with you something that's very sad and very tragic, but that we need to know about. A lot of folks have been asking me recently.